Is background. Maybe this is going to work. Sorry. Let me end it here. Is the background is taking the whole thing, my body also?
Allow you to do
that. If you want to pay full price, yep. And a linen choosing. Okay, 7 o'clock, so we begin. We start with a prayer. Asking God to give us a heart like Mary, a humble, a meek, a pure heart like hers, so we can always be docile to the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask Mary to give us a heart like hers, always surrendering to the grace of God, knowing that God is everything for her. So trying that he become everything for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And understanding and recognizing through faith that we, God is everywhere, but we are his, especially in our hearts, in the heart of the one who has been justified by grace. The Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you seeing me well, or are you seeing a weird thing? Because I haven't seen a weird thing.
Kind of weird, but you're...
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Like you have the head of Christ on the cross and a beautiful chasuble.
Yeah,
and it comes through your teeth. But it's like a chasuble. It's not the background. I don't know. No.
It's on you. It's beautiful.
Okay, I will take it away. No. This is the church. I mean, this is the painting of the church. Yes, I see now.
Yeah.
It's like this.
You have castle. Mary and John at the foot of the cross.
Yeah. That is not none. Okay.
It was pretty for Easter.
It's the church. It's really beautiful. I mean, now it's truly a place of prayer. I mean, you can be there contemplating the mystery of the cross with Mary and John and all these saints there up there and angels on the other side. Oh, it's full of people now, holy people.
Yeah, and none of us, right?
It's easier to pray. So the last day we were seeing the incarnation, no? When God became flesh for our salvation. So he humbled himself, he emptied himself for us and for our salvation, for love to us, we can say also. All the action of God is moved by love. God doesn't do nothing that is not moved by love. In fact, because Jesus, incarnation and all the mystery of Jesus, we know and we can say with St. John, God is love. And it is what he is, so his being is love. God cannot do nothing that is not love. It's impossible. Maybe we don't understand it sometimes, but one day we will see it in clarity, yeah, that all the action of God is moved by love, goodness, and justice. But love is this, the key that opened the heart of God and the action of God, and not only inside him, also to the creatures. All is made by love, and all is coming from love. But there is another dimension, it's our answer. And this is what today we want to see in a woman who was totally pure, that she is the temple of God in fullness. She is the ark of the new covenant. Mary, no, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. So it's the woman who has God always in her heart. And now God is always working in her. And you know, the meaning of the word full of grace is a Greek verb that is called kecharitomeini. That is, the translation is difficult. It's a permanent verb. It's not, it's past, present, and future, but include always. So Mary is always in full of grace from the moment of her conception. This word is the key word for understanding Mary as immaculate. So immaculate conception is connected with this Greek word, because it says that full of grace always. So she was full of grace always, not only in that moment of the Annunciation. And it's the way the God calls her, full of grace. Is the name the angel? He did. You read the text. It's not that he called her Mary. No, the angel. The name that the angel gave to Mary is full of grace. Keharitomene, with the shalom that is there in that beautiful text. That is the moment in which God is asking a creature for her answer, for her cooperation, for her consent, for her fiat, for her you will be done. And that is what is. And in her, because of that answer, that is not a moment, all the action of God is in fulfillment always. There's an expression of Saint Augustine that Mary conceived in her heart before conceiving in her womb. In our hearts, every one of us can conceive. So, what the word of God? We can let like a new incarnation. We will see later if we have time, but if not, you can read it. This text of Sor Elizabeth of the Trinity that is asking for that. I mean, he's asking for like a new incarnation in her. So it's something that is really powerful, the courage that the saints have for saying words that we will not dare to say, no? But they are bold. Why? Because they know God. And knowing God, they know the love of God for them. And they know that God can do more than they can imagine or think. And their petitions are according to that the generosity of God. Here in the this text, that is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraph, say, O consuming fire, the spirit of love, descend into my soul and make all in me as an incarnation of the word, that there may be to him a superadded humanity wherein the renews, wherein he renews his mystery, and you, O Father, bestow yourself and bend down to your little creature, seeing in her only your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased. This is a beautiful text. So we'll see another idea that is here. You can read it now. So understanding that, how this woman is often offering herself, you know, this is the core of her spirituality is the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in the soul by grace. That is, Sor Elizabeth of the Trinity. Even he choose her name right well. So, oh my God, Trinity whom I adore, let me entirely forget myself that I may abide in you, still and peaceful as if my soul were already in eternity. Let nothing disturb my peace, nor separate me from you, O my unchanging God, but that each moment may take me further into the depths of your mystery. Pacify my soul, make it your heaven, your beloved home and place of your repose. Let me never leave you there alone, but may I be ever attentive, ever alert in my faith, ever adoring, and all given up to your creative action. This creative action is the grace. I mean, because God is not creating in the natural level now. I mean, the natural level, the things are created. He sustained them in being, but he's asking for that permanent fullness of grace that was given to Mary. The reason I read the text, why? Because God wants to do that in you also, but depend on us. So depend on how we are letting God to take that power. I mean, it's all a prayer for letting God to be God within her. So it's to surrendering totally to God, taking everything of her that is an obstacle or a hindrance for the action of God, and now letting God to do his work of sanctification in our souls. Why? Because, you know, Mary is not only our mother of grace, it's also our model. So we are called to imitate her. She's the fullness of our humanity. She's the fullness of all creatures. She's not only fullness of human beings, it's fullness of all creatures, of all angels and saints. And I think that I'm not mistaken if I say that all together. So this is the amazing mystery of a woman that led God to be God, only that. He's surpassing all creatures. He's a creature, I mean, he's nothing. She is nothing, sorry. She is a pure creature of God. What she is a gift of God, something created by God. Only Jesus belongs, but God has united the incarnation of his son with the answer of this woman. So it's something that is really huge in the plan of God. And she is also our mother because we would not go here too much, but as she is mother of Jesus in the human nature, so she gave to Jesus her human nature, so she gave us the participation in the nature of Jesus, of the divine nature. So it's like a parallel in the action of that she has of giving life to Jesus and giving life to us as a mother. So the Mary is the mold of God. So where God was formed in his humanity, of course, God is eternally in his being, but the divine person, I don't know, I understand the Protestant, I think are very illogic in all what they say, because they need to, I don't know what they need to put. Because they don't proclaim that Mary is the mother of God, but if they don't proclaim that Mary is the mother of God, means that in Jesus there are two persons. So they are not Christians. In the moment they don't say that. Why? Because in Jesus only one person. That is what is make our faith. No, we were seeing that the last day, no? Very clear. One and the same is true God and true man. So you are not mother of a piece of flesh. You are mother of the person. So when Mary gave birth to the human nature of Jesus, giving birth to the person of Jesus. So he's mother of the Son of God. And he's mother, I mean, of God. Why? Because the Son of God is God in his very being. And he's not. So if they don't accept this maternity of Mary, you know, the same council that we were talking also the last time, that is the council of Ephesus, in which Jesus was proclaimed as the Son of God, as God, is the same council that Mary was proclaimed Mother of God. There's why? Because there are the two truths that are totally connected. You deny one, you are denying the other. So it's difficult to understand how the Protestants think, not proclaiming Mary as Mother of God. I mean, is a problem, as I'm not going there. What I mean is that it's something that is there, is what is she is. What she is what God wants she to be. And even in the scripture, when Elizabeth, we will not see the text, when Mary visited Elizabeth, he proclaimed her the mother of the Lord. How is, you know, this is the verse, this is the chapter, chapter one of St. Luke. This, when Mary went and visited Elizabeth, you know, the first thing is that Mary's greeting is so powerful because she's not only full of grace, because this is word of God. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, probably was shalom, that is the Greek, sorry, the Jewish way of greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. So only Mary saying to her that, that is the fact is here. So when she heard Mary saying to her shalom, the Holy Spirit fulfilled her heart, and the child leapt in her womb. And now he cried, Elizabeth, in love, most blessed are you among women. That is what we pray in the Hail Mary. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. And we are Jesus, but the fruit of her womb is Jesus. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So this is revelation of God. I mean, the mother of my Lord, the mother of God. The Lord for this woman, Elizabeth, is God. I mean, so is there. It's the mystery of a woman. And we are trying to go a little understanding what God has done in her, because he wants to do in us something similar, because I insist. She is not only the mother of the church and the mother of all of us in the supernatural level, but is also our model. So it's how we are called to live our lives before God. Because she's there for teaching us. I mean, because Jesus is the giver, but she's the receiver, and we are receivers as Mary. No, there is here, is going to come to light the feminine dimension of the woman. And for all you women, but it's very important that you be aware of this, because it's very important. I mean, this one is, my opinion is with the lack of fatherhood by men, is the lack of femininity by women. And both are connected, of course, because they are missions that God is given to every human being for the salvation of the world. But when the mission is not accomplished, because our missions that are engraved even in the natural level. So this is what it means to be a woman. As the same thing in the natural level is what one means to be a man, a father, for guiding and leading a family, and what means authority there. But these things are totally out of broken in this society, and that is, it's like a circle that is growing, a snowball that is making grow bigger and bigger in this society, and it's destroying everything because the lack of femininity and the lack of fatherhood of men. But we will see a little the connection in the time we have, that I don't want to make it too long. So for so we can ask her, and petition is beautiful, is ask her, mother, put me with your son, make me as your son. You are the mold of God. So the place where God was molded in his humanity, I mean, all the things in her womb, Jesus received everything of his humanity from her, and the Holy Spirit working in her. That is, there is no mediation of a man there. That is the virginity of Mary, the virginal conception of Mary. So the Immaculate Conception, as you know, is the meaning that Mary has no sin from her conception. So she was without original sin. And that teaches us a lot for understanding what is original sin. And that is something that has wounded our humanity and continue as a wound in our humanity for our holiness. Now there are some inclinations inside us that destroy our relationship with God, but in the plan of God now we can use them for coming to God. So that is the point of these inclinations that are created, dark desires. We can now connect things. They are desires. They are concupiscence. A concupiscence is a desire. A desire that is disordered, desire. That is, in the beginning, concupiscence was desire. For the Greek people, the concupiscence is the level of the stomach. No, is the fortitude, is the level of the will, is here. The level of the desire is the stomach. And the layer of the prudence is the head. But it's there, it's the level of desires. This is called concupiscence is the expression, but all the level of desires is called concupiscence. So the irascible, that is the level of the strength, of courage, of facing evil. But that is about the Greeks. So the word is taken from the Greeks, but it's now in the church, it's called fomes peccati, so the inclination to sin. And the inclination to sin is the two desires that in the original woman were open to God and in the original man, but because sin, they were torn to us. And you know, we will talk a little more about that, but the desire of being loved and the desire of happiness that continue ruling your behavior. You don't have this clear. Try to have it clear, because they are ruling your behavior. And a spiritual life is learning to move these desires, to change them, not to deny them. No, we don't deny nothing. We bring things to fullness. But bringing them to fullness, we need to bring them to the one who is the source of fullness. We are going to begin in That Man Is You now. If anyone wants to join to our group, we are going to begin the fulfillment of all desires. It's a book about the saints and how God is the fulfillment of all desires. A book about God. And I mean, it's a powerful thing for understanding who fulfills desires. But our original sin is that the desire of being loved, as you know, is not in God. And the desire of happiness is not in God. And now in Mary, they are in God. Immaculate Mary means that desire of being loved was never in any creature except in God. So Mary never put the desire of being loved in any man or any person or even in his son Jesus. No, in his son Jesus, in the measure he was God, but he was not attached as many mothers to her child to keep him for her. No, Mary is always offering Jesus. It's totally detached from Jesus. In fact, you remember the wedding of Cana, when Jesus told her, "It's not yet my hour." And Mary knows what is the hour of Jesus. Mary was not thinking in a happy, beautiful movie. No, she knows the prophet Isaiah. She knows that her son has come to be crucified and to suffer for others and to die for others, as is so clear in the Old Testament. I mean, and she knows all these texts in the light of her mission, that is being the mother of the Messiah. Do what he commands you. So she began the process of Jesus going to the cross. Why? Because she loved her son. She doesn't love her son for her. She loved her son for the fullness that God has prepared for her son in his life. And that means accomplishing the mission for which he has come to this world. I mean, women are this attachment to their children and protecting their children is a lack of knowledge of God, a lack of love to their children, a lack of pampering the children and not letting the children to grow and mature as persons. Yeah. But it's there. I mean, it's something that is connected also with the desire of being loved. Yeah. Because when the husband is not working, because at the beginning women put the desire of being loved in men. Yeah. And that is the reason we are having this problem of sexuality. Because if your desire of being loved is not in men, you will not go to a bed with a man if he is not coming, bringing him first to God. But that is not happening. Why? because the desire of being loved is not in God, it's in men. So the prayer is that the woman is created for a deeper communion of love. Is more aware of that being created. Man is also created for that communion of love. But women is like in her flesh, in the natural level, physical level, psychological level, she's more engraved with that awareness. Men can only achieve fullness also in a communion of love. I mean, that is eternal life and is the communion with God. But men, we don't have it so clear. It's the woman who conveys us that to us. That is not happening, and that is one of the biggest problems. And we will try to see how they are, it's a chain, that everything is chained with the other. So are consequences that are happening, but they are the light of Mary. So what God wants to do in us. So first thing I want to put clear at the beginning is all about the grace of God, the ways of God and the style of God. It's his action. It's coming to his grace. It's coming to his love. It's coming to his power. It's coming to his action. It's not what I do. That is the way we think. Because original sin, again, is about me. And because it's about me, it's all about me. And now I cannot go out from my egocentric behavior and life that every one of us has. But the only way of stopping that is coming to the love of God. We cannot change in any other way than receiving love. And receiving love that is called mercy. Because every one of us, because the inclination we have from childhood, I mean, you know, we have talked about that desire of being loved as the root of all psychological human problems. Right? Because it's very strong. So you thinking why you think the things that you think, why you are worried about the things you are worried, why you are without peace, without joy, without fullness, gossiping or just justify myself or trying to justify myself in my head or trying to, is all about your ego and the desire of being loved. But if we don't get it, we cannot heal it, because salvation is understanding that. And bringing that to God, bringing that to his mercy, what my desire of being loved. When you read the literature of humility, you understand how powerful is that desire, no? How it's ruling you, how it's even, when you read it, I mean, it's even tough to read the literature of humility, no? Why? Because I am against my desire of being loved. And it's something that we think that if we are not there, we are not going to get love. The contrary is the truth. If we stop being there, we receive all the love of God. It's called humility. But the thing is, it's a battle in our hearts that we have to battle it, every one of us. I mean, so, but God works in ways that are unexpected, incredible. So a virgin is called to something impossible. Why? Because how a virgin is going to be a mother? But this is the way God acts always. So the action of God is through his almighty power. Who can be saved? It's the expression of Jesus. Nobody can be saved by himself. It's the power of God. For God, nothing is impossible. I mean, that is the expression of Jesus talking about chastity and about being faithful to a wife and being only with a wife. If that is the situation, who can get married? And the question of the apostles, no? When Jesus said that God created man for a one woman, I mean, for being faithful and not divorce is coming because the stubbornness of hearts, of the resistance to the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the divorce. And is the root of all failures in marriage. What? Stubbornness of heart. Why? Because we are not living from the love of God, and now we are looking for love in the partner. And the partner is so weak, as you, as me, we are so weak, that now we think that the other person has to fulfill my desire of being loved. Maybe. But that, as you know, not happen exactly that. Why? Because he can't. Even I pretend or I want, and now I want to change the other person, I want the other person to give me the love that I don't have, and now things become worse. Whoop, I have come. Back to meeting. Here I am in meeting. don't know who was coming there inside. So, for God, there is nothing impossible. Get the expression. It's in Luke 1, 37 and 49. For God, there is nothing impossible. When you go to prayer, are you there? Because if you are not there, you are not in prayer. I don't know where you are. Maybe you are thinking. But if you are not getting before God, that is the art of preambles and the art of presence of God, you are not getting in prayer. I don't know what you are doing. Maybe you are wasting your time. And yeah, you say that prayer is very boring. And then, I mean, coming to God means coming to God, no? And He's almighty. So for Him, nothing is impossible. In the moment you are not there, you are not before God. Jesus know it, I mean, and all the saints know it. And if it's there, I mean, for God, nothing is impossible. So apply it to you. The powerful word God with lack of means. God works always in the same way. The more is the nothingness, the greater is the action of God. Because in the bottom, what God has looked in Mary is her nothingness. So the awareness she has of being nothing. That is what she proclaimed in the Magnificat. When we translate the lowliness of her servant, the humility of her servant, maybe it's a translation. But the key word is kenosis, the emptiness, the nothingness of her servant. Because she's not putting, what she's putting is her desire of God and letting God to be God in her. How can we understand it a little better? I mean, the way of understanding is understanding that when I let God to be God and not less me, is the only moment I am myself. Is something that we have to clarify in our hearts more and more. Letting God to work in me is letting the Creator to give His work of creation to fullness. When I am not letting God to work in me, I cannot achieve my fullness. Because only God can do that fullness in our humanity. It's the sanctification process. It's a pure gift of God. It's a pure grace of God. So the action of God is not an obstacle for my being the person I am called to be. No, the action of God is the only way of being the person I am called to be. It's clear at this point, it's very important to understand that because the original sin is thinking that without God, I can accomplish myself. And self-realization, self-accomplishment, all these stupid thinkings of pride people that never get to any point in their life. Because as you can understand, a person who is in that kind of pride don't love anyone. So never mature in any dimension of his life because love is humble. Because it's coming from God, as in Jesus. So, the thing is understanding this mystery of Mary in the light of what we are. Because we were created in grace. So, the humanity was not created alone. So, Adam and Eve were created in a state of grace. And that state of grace gave them the fullness of the relationship. Because they were in that relationship with God, in which God can come to the garden and talk with them every day. You know, it's a symbolic expression of the intimacy and the friendship with God. And that is there. I mean, they were in that fullness of perception of things, of perceiving and seeing things in the sight of God. So with the purity and with the power of God. And now is the reason they were naked without shame. Why? Because they were in the fullness of the vision. They don't see the things according to their desire. They see the things according to the plan of God. And in that is revealed the mystery of the other person through the body. Not through a mystical thing, no, through the body. Now, as we know, how we are corrupted in that point and how this is distorting everything in human relationships. Why? Because then we don't have the sight of God. We need to recover it. How? It's a problem of purification of the heart, as Mary, no? Pure of heart. What is there? I mean, the Immaculate Mary is the full of grace. You know, it's the expression of the angel, Luke 1, 28. So Mary lives absolutely from the love of God. That is the mystery of Mary. The fullness of complacence on Mary on the part of the Holy Trinity, this most beloved daughter of the Father, the most pure spouse of the Holy Spirit, the mother of the Son of God. These are the three titles that the church and the fathers of the church gave and give to Mary, because she is that, is in a relationship with God, in a communion with God that any other creature has had and have. I mean, is there. So this, from the moment of her conception, she is immaculate. So what she's immaculate means that, I insist in this point so we can work it, because that is the purification of the heart. Is opening my desire of being loved to God. So living from the love of God, living from the grace of God. As you know, this is called salvation. It's the only way of being saved. It's a little tough. No. If you are humble, it's not tough. If you are not humble, it's very tough. Because you have to become humble. I have to become humble. Salvation is humility, because it's recognizing who am I and how much God loves me, being whom am I, not who I think I am. No, my desires, my desire of being loved, is teaching me always my sinfulness and my selfishness. And the only way for stopping that desire is opening it to God. It's putting it in God. And I stop thinking what the other think about me, how the other appreciate me, how the other like me. But it's a process. It's a process that is called spiritual life. It's the process of transformation of the inner self. It's the process of sanctification of the soul. It's the process of you knowing yourself. It's tough, yes, my friends. Because we don't want to know ourselves. But you can grow every day here. Why? Because that, and I insist in this point, because it's very simple. There is the only place where is salvation. Out of there, there is no action of God. Satan can work, but God is not going to work out of that self-knowledge that is called humility. And every day of your life, because the desire of being loved is ruling your behavior as mine, is putting me now judging this, now upset with that, now angry with that, now frustrated with that, now losing my peace. You know, the expression of San Orleans. So Elizabeth of the Trinity trying to, why? Because it's a powerful desire. Why? Because it's the original desire of connection with God. So God created us open to his love. The pretension of the woman, in my opinion, this is original sin, is the action of the woman, because God gave the woman for bringing the man to God. So to bring the man to the interior life, to the presence of God that she has as Mary, that woman at the beginning was full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Can be said the same to that woman. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And was blessed. And God was giving the woman to the man for what? For bringing the man to God first. Not for bringing the man to her. You can look what is happening. And from bringing the man to her, bringing him to love. From bringing the man to God, now bringing him to love. Not for he fulfilling my desire of being loved. That can't happen. Because he don't have that power. He's not God. He cannot fulfill the desire of being loved of anyone, because the man is looking for the same thing, for being loved. And then in the original plan, the man was not aware yet clearly of the mystery of the interior life. And the woman is the one who, brings, that is the reason when the man was looking for a similar help, which I can understand, it's not a similar help for cooking the food and passing the broom. No, it's a similar help for knowing what means to be human. And how I achieve the fullness of my humanity. And God gave the body of the woman. So the woman in naked. So the woman in her femininity for teaching the man how to be a man. That is the, is there. I mean, you can read the first pages of the Bible. And in that moment, the man understood that. I mean, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. For this because that man was without original sin. He was in a desire of God. So the charity was working in his heart. He loves God with all her heart, all his heart, all his strength, all his being and all his soul, but he don't know the way toward God. And given the body of the woman, the man understood his way toward God. First is the mystery of interiority that revealed the mystery of femininity of the woman. Second is spousal love. For this, I will leave father and mother, and we will become one flesh. And third is the mystery of fatherhood. That three dimensions are the woman. The man learned them through the woman. And this is the mystery of femininity, and is the mystery of Mary. She is totally fulfilled by God. She is totally given to God in a spousal dimension, and is the perfect spouse that brings Joseph to God in the total dimension, because there's no sexual relationship between them. It's fullness in the relationship of a total love that is similar to the love of heaven. And now he's bringing a man to be the father of her soul. Yeah. Why? Because now Saint Joseph is the perfect father. Why? Because he's totally open to God and is totally in love with a spousal love with his wife. It's a mysterious relationship, but it's a relationship that is all founded in the original dimension of the woman, that is the interiority. And that's what Mary is, in a fullness that we cannot imagine, but it's what we need to restore. I mean, you know, there's an expression of American writer, it's a woman. The heart of a woman has to be so deep in God that when a man wants to come to that woman, he needs to go first to God. I mean, it's a beautiful expression, but it's expressing this thing probably without knowing. It's more intuitive in that woman expressing this. So the woman has to be in such way in God that when a man wants to come to her, he has to go first to God. Okay, because that is the mystery of femininity. The mystery of femininity is here. You know, this is a powerful thinker, philosopher, that is Edith Stein. So, you know, he's a saint. He's Sor Benedicta of the Cross. She was a philosopher, a Jewish woman that converted to Christianity. And after her conversion, she was converted by the example of friends that she had. And she was there. She was a kind of agnosticism. After that, she converted. After that, she became a Carmelite, and after that, she died as a martyr in Auschwitz for being a Jewish person. And she is the patroness of Europe. And she wrote a lot about philosophy. So the philosophy of this woman is, probably you know something, or if not, is the founder of, she was the secretary of the founder of a school of philosophy called phenomenology. Phenomenology is a philosophy that what they want, or they try, because it's not easy, never, is make a total void of my thinking, my perception of things, my prejudices, what I have learned when I was little, taking away everything. They call it epoche, that is spoiling myself from whatever kind of thinking, and now trying to see what is that. So trying to describe the phenomenon. The phenomenon is what is appearing to me. Yeah? So if they describe something, what is chastity? They try to, what I think about chastity doesn't count. So I try to now look into the reality of this human thing, trying to describe it. That is phenomenology. The founder was Husserl, and she was her secretary and the first and better disciple of him. So when he's doing this about women, he's trying to describe that. And I'm going to read it because I think it's really powerful, so we understand something of the heart of Mary and the heart of the woman, because this doesn't help us to grow. I mean, let us now examine how the essential elements of religious orders relate to the feminine nature. the motive, principle, and end of the religious life is to make an absolute gift of self to God, and in self-forgetting love, to end one's own life in order to make room for God's life. So that is what is religious life, no? The motive, the principle, and the end. Is making myself a gift to God as Mary. So forgetting myself and letting God to be the one who moved my life and do everything within me as Mary, full of grace. The more perfectly this is realized, the more richly will God's life fill the soul. Then God's love is an overflowing love which wants nothing for itself but bestows itself freely, mercifully. It bends down to everyone who is in need, healing the sick and awakening the dead to life, protecting, cherishing, nourishing, teaching, and forming. It is a love which sorrows with the sorrowful and rejoices with the joyful. It serves each human being to attain the end destined for it by the Father. In one word, it is the love of the divine heart. And now come here, what is the point of what is her description of this connected with the religious life with the woman. The deepest longing of woman's heart is to give herself lovingly, to belong to another, and to possess this other being completely. This longing is revealed in her outlook, personal and all-embracing, which appears to us as a specifically feminine. The men don't have this thing. Women have it from childhood in their very nature. But this surrender becomes a perverted self-abandon and a form of slavery when it is given to another person and not to God. At the same time, it's an unjustified demand which no human being can fulfill. Only God can welcome a person's total surrender in such a way that one does not lose one's soul in the process, but wins it. And only God can bestow himself upon a person so that he fulfills this being completely and loses nothing of himself in so doing. That is why total surrender, which is the principle of the religious life, is simultaneously the only adequate fulfillment possible of woman's yearnings. I mean, this is a total revolution. Thus, the divine life entering the being surrendered to God is love, ready to serve, compassionate, awaken, and foster life. It corresponds thoroughly to what we have found to be the professional ethos required of woman. What are the practical consequences of this? Most all women become religious in order to fulfill their vocation as women? Certainly not. But it certainly does mean that the fallen, perverted feminine nature can be restored to its purity and led to the heights of the vocational ethos, which is this pure nature indicates only if it is completely surrendered to God. Where is a mother in the home or occupies a place in the limelight of public life or lives behind quiet cloisters, walls, she must be a handmaid of the Lord everywhere. So had the mother of God been in all circumstances of her life, as the temple virgin enclosed in that hallowed precinct, by her quiet work in Bethlehem and Nazareth as guide to the apostles and the Christian community after the death of her son, where each woman, an image of the Mother of God, a spouse of Christ, an apostle of the divine heart, then would each fulfill her feminine vocation, no matter what conditions she lived in and what worldly activity absorbed her life. I mean, in my opinion, is something that is a really powerful text. Why? Because this is the core of the problem here. How a woman is opening the heart to God, because I mean, the man depends on the woman in the human relationship of learning to love. That is what is in the Genesis. But in the moment the woman is not there, And she's desperately looking for a man that replaces God. And when the man is not working, after some time, he does that with her children. What is even worse. And now you can understand how many situations we have around this world. Why? Because we are created for receiving love. And we are created for letting God to be God in our hearts. In the moment that is not happening, this in dimension of the one, because the man is more about outward. It's more about looking for success and results and facts and things. No, the woman is all personal. So in the moment this relationship is not with God, it's affecting all her human relationships. And it's affecting them in a negative way, of course. Because it's not bringing the others to God. It's not bringing the others to fullness. And she cannot bring herself to fullness because the thing is that she's the one who gives the fullness to the man, full of grace. So it's the one who brings the man to a fullness. You can read 1 Peter 3, 1, 4, and it's the same idea with total different words. I mean, if you want your husband is not a believer, if you want him to bring him to God, I mean, don't try to convince him through your words. Yeah? Try to put your hope in God, that is what he's saying here. Yeah? And now try to be your hope. Because I mean, when you try to change another person, what you make the other person is worse. When you try to change yourself and be holier, maybe the other person understands that there is a greater life. Yeah? That is the relationship with God. I think this is the Immaculate Heart of Mary means that is the total, radical, permanent dependence on the Creator. This is what she's saying here, and so Elizabeth of the Trinity is saying here, in Mary is in total fulfillment always. But you are called to that, that is the point, and it's a matter of grace. It's not a matter of how good you are. No, that is not the point here. Not a matter of, because that is the thinking, oh, I have to do this. We are again in the same ego-centric behavior. It's God who does everything. In Mary, as Elizabeth of the Trinity, as Edith Stein. I mean, it's a matter of letting God be God. So putting my desires in God and making room in God, because I insist, we have talked about that. The desire of being loved in the moment is not in God, is selfishness itself. I am going to talk about me. I am in the center of everything that I am. And you can't avoid that. Neither you, neither the Pope, neither the President of the United States, neither anyone in this world. The desire of being loved is ruling our human behavior. And it's not another thing that we have. It's the relationship with the Creator, so with the giver of life and love and wisdom and power. And that is the desire of being loved. God gives us our parents so we understand that we need to open our hearts to God. Our parents do their work as they can. Okay, we don't have to blame anyone. We need to learn to open to the love of God, which is a spiritual life. It's only that. And Jesus came to save the poor and the cause of the poor because every one of us is so poor in love, are so yearning and longing and despair for finding some kind of love. I mean, because all these media that are there, so ridiculous and stupid, is for that. Some guy paid me attention. Is that? I mean, it's, how nice. And I mean, it's crazy. And test yourself. So know what is happening in your heart. Why? Because here the point, Mary is always in fullness because she's so humble that she was always in the total awareness that God is Creator. You and me, we are not in that total awareness. Prayer is coming to that awareness that God is the giver, that God is a source of mercy, is a source of love. And this is His mercy, and it's only His mercy. It's His love for me being as we are. But what is separating me from God? And what is separating you from God? My desire of being loved. Is clear this point? Some question about this point. It's very important that we understand why Mary is so in such a fullness. Because she has all that desire as we have at the before original sin. And Jesus came to restore us from, save us from original sin, to purify ourselves. So we become what? New creatures. But you think that this is a thinking? A new creature? No, a new creature is someone who is living from the Creator. Because I cannot be a new creature if I am not living from the Creator. So if I am not living from the giver of everything to everyone in the universe. And he wants to give you, because he, as we have seen in the meditation of creation, he has created you for his glory. So for pouring in you his love and his graces. And this is creative action of God. That is the same that Elizabeth of the Trinity is asking God to remain there always. Where? Under the love of God. The creative action of God, living from the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The person who is loved in the Holy Trinity. So Mary is always living from the Holy Spirit. It's the perfect spouse of the Holy Spirit. He's totally given herself as a gift to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can do in her amazing things, and he wants to do in us, but depend on how we, and this is the point that I think is very important to understand, how we bring this desire that is coming to your life in a thousand ways, as in my life. Now judging this guy because he's going to do that, or now this guy, how he looks, or criticizing this person. I mean, is all these egocentric movements of my heart, of your hearts, is coming from the desire of being loved. So selfishness itself is the desire of being loved. Selfishness is not a thing, it's a desire. That is putting me in the center of everything, because if I need to be loved, now it's about me. So how the others think about me, how the others look to me, how the others want me, how the others appreciate me, how good I'm doing this work. So they say, oh, this is really good doing this. I mean, but everything that you have is coming from God. At the same time, it's a lie, because if you have something good, it's coming from God. So instead of looking for praising God and the glory of God, that is what the only thing Mary is looking, and looking for my own glory, my own praise, and my own, the people applaud me and contemplate me, and now the things are lost, because this is the beginning of the end of love. And this marriage becomes so difficult, because we are not created for living without the love of God. We are created for living from the love of God. And now, living from that love, loving the other person. You know, in the marriage, what is given is in the sacrament is the grace of the Holy Spirit. So I stop trying to find, because the Holy Spirit is the love of God. So I be moved by the love of God. But I mean, here the point is understanding that my desire is not a problem if I want to use it to come to God. And this is called humility and trust. Humility is recognizing what the desire is doing in me, no problem, because it's acting in you. It's always acting. It's not a desire that you have as other desires. No, all the other desires you have are originated, caused, and created, and generated by the desire of being loved. That is the reason we are so here, living in the head, because we are not understanding that the infinite is loving you now. And whatever is separating you from that love of God, you can bring it to him. Why? Because he's mercy, and he knows it eternally. Let me see a moment, because I don't know if there's... Wait a moment, because I am coming the answering service, and I have to send it to my brother priest, if they can. Okay. So here is understanding this mystery of the mercy of God, that is Jesus Christ, what we are celebrating these days, and we are the church is always celebrating. So what is separating me from God is my selfishness. But my selfishness is not a thinking that I have, that I am the center of the universe. No, my selfishness is my desire of being loved. That is expressed in a thousand ways. It's expressed in the seven capital sins, an expression of my selfishness. Because it's the desire of being loved outside. And when I am not receiving love, now come other problems. The lustful problem, the gluttony problem, the greediness problem are coming from the desire of being loved also. A person who has love has everything. And now is not moved by these things that are destroying him. So what we need is love. You know, the beautiful song, all you need is love. No, but we need love. It's a very big truth. Not as the song is saying, because it's talking obviously about other things, but we need love. So because we are created for living from love. So, and I am now a desire that is separating me from the fountain of love. But the fountain of love is mercy. So I can use everything that is separating me from the love of God for bringing it to the love of God. It's clear the point. Your fears, your anxieties, your anguish are showing you where is your desire of being loved. That is not in God. Because a person who is in the love of God is like this woman. He's asking a total peace, a total fullness. That's Mary. I mean, what? Because he's living from God, as the saints are living from God. I mean, and the process of spiritual life is a process of what Mary has already. That is the awareness of who is the giver and who can fulfill her heart, and bringing her, and leaving her heart always open to that action of God. So getting these expressions and he used here at the beginning is to end one's own life, the life of me, in order to make room for God's life, that is eternal life already. So, but if I, how I finish with this, my own life, is my life about my ego, because my life is not bad in itself. Is the egocentric thing with the pride, the vanity, the anger, the jealousy, the envy, what is not life, is death more than life. So, but that God knows it already. So I can move everything. I move everything toward him. So I can move everything toward the love of God that loves me here and now. What means that on my part and on my action in my heart? Two things. First, I humble myself. I recognize where I am looking for love. I recognize my ego working. That is humility, self-knowledge. It's only that. It's not weird things. It's knowing who am I and what I am doing the things and why I am doing the things. It's not a tough thing, no, because what I am looking is for the fountain of love. The tough thing is how I am living, because that reason we don't receive any love alone in our lives, and now we are upset and angry and frustrated and disappointed with life and angry and fearful, and all these things are coming because our desire of being loved. But we can open it to God always. And the second is trust, that I know that he loves me there, because he loves me in my weakness, in my poverty, and he loves me more. So I boast before my God of my weakness, of my failures, of my sinfulness. I am not afraid of him. I know his love for me. And knowing his love for me, I open to him everything that is separating me from him, because that is what is separating me from him, what? My desire of being loved. That is the root of all our sins, is that desire. Because put us in selfishness. I insist, is selfishness itself. The reason... The other day with the meditation of St. Ignatius about being holy. These guys know this. They probably don't analyze the psychological level, because that time was less a point of this psychology that we have so imbued in this society. I mean, But these guys know that that desire was so strong that they desired the country for stopping the desire. They don't know what is going to happen because they don't know what is I am going to have. They know that life is with humiliations, but if I don't face the desire, so I desire the country to be humiliated, to be disdained as Jesus was disdained and humiliated, they are making a big step in a spiritual life for opening to the love of God and stopping that desire that is ruling your behavior. I mean, spiritual life is knowing myself in humility and coming to the love of God both simultaneously, because you cannot know yourself if you are not coming to humility. So knowing yourself and what is separating me and you from God, and why my prayer is so dry, and why my meditation is so poor sometimes, it's because the ego continue working. I mean, because God is there, and the intimacy with God is for which we are created. But the thing is, how I am getting taken away, because if I am not acting against my ego, I mean, Satan is playing with me all the day long. I mean, and now he's thinking that the things are good. This is all about the power and the action of God. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and she knows how great is God in her and outside, of course, but in her. I mean, and my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. The Almighty has done great things for me. Why? Because he has looked the lowliness of her servant. So the awareness of being nothing before God, the awareness that all she is and had is coming from God. As you, the problem is that you and me, we are not aware, and we pretend now to show off in some way, little ways, subtle ways, but it's the ego working. And the day I get upset and angry and frustrated, the ego is more showing itself who I am, because we are not the real person is coming when, boom, the burst of fear and anger is coming, because the situation is putting me in my reality. But look, Jesus in the Passion. Why? Because the same thing, Jesus is totally living from the Father. I mean, you look, Jesus is all about the Father. It's about living from the love of God, living from the love of the Father. You know, that's the beautiful expression. But it's the same thing. Why? Because spiritual life is very simple. Because it's about learning to open to the love of God, learning that I have a Father that is almighty, for him nothing is impossible, that he has all power, and learning to open, not external things that I don't know what is his plan, because he's ruling everything for salvation of some and damnation of others. Not he wants damnation of anyone, but people, because they are rejecting and refusing God and rebelling against God, they are creating their own way of damnation. So death is their shepherd, is the expression of the Psalm 49. You can read it about powerful tests about those who are looking for material things and disdaining God. It's the Psalm 49. And this expression is there. The death is their shepherd. I mean, and that can happen. I mean, why? Because God is ruling things for salvation of people. But the same thing that is for salvation, that is seeing God crucified, for a man becomes a place of holiness and transformation, and for the other man that was in the same situation, for a place of cursing and blaming God. It's clear the point. I mean, I'm talking about the two thieves that were one at the right and the other at the left of God. So, but it's there. But in that, we don't have any power. We have power in how we are letting God to guide our hearts and bring us to holiness in whatever situations are happening in my life, because everything is in his power. I mean, in the moment I don't believe that everything is in his power, I don't believe in God. Maybe I believe in idols or ideas that I have, and this coronavirus is also in the power of God. I mean, I don't know what where it's coming. I don't know where it's coming. I don't care. Jesus don't care about where is coming the thing. This is coming from Satan. This is coming from evil people. This is coming from the sickness of... No, Jesus knows that everything is in the plan of the Father for his holiness and for the salvation of the world. Even he knows that this is the time of the ruler of this world. And he knows that perfectly because he said that. And so you know that he has nothing in me, we go. So we go to the Passion. So I show you that Satan has no power. Because the one who is in the power of God has all power for conquering whatever situation external is coming, from whoever is coming, and whatever is happening. The thing is that being in God, because God is almighty, and that is what the mystery of the cross is the mystery of the power of God working in a human heart that is totally open to him and wanting only one thing, and what?
to do his will. Because he was not thinking, maybe this is the will of others, but God has accepted the will of others, and now he's trying to work with the will of others. That was not the prayer of Jesus. Your will be done, not my will. And that is powerful, right? Because it's bringing him to the power of God, to the, as Mary, she's at the foot of the cross with the same prayer of Jesus. Your will be done, fiat. That is exactly the heart of Mary always. Why? Because she knows that God is God. Because she's in that action of God. And Jesus, in a moment that he experienced the fear and the sadness of the moment, he was praying for teaching us that the way of conquering that moment. Why? Because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is at hand. What the spirit? The spirit of God is at hand. Is prompt, is wanting to work in us, but through prayer works. So through opening to God, because that is prayer. Prayer is opening to the will of God. It's opening to the fatherhood of God. It's opening to the almighty power of God. That are the three things that Jesus was praying in the garden. Abba, for you nothing is impossible, not my will for your will. And all prayer that is not in these three petitions is not a Christian prayer. It's the goodness of God, it's the power of God, and it's wanting to do the will of God. I mean, and that is where Holy Spirit works. It's not going to work in ideas. No, God is infinite love. He's Father. He's the giver of everything. And Jesus knows that. And in the moment Satan was trying to take him away from there because the situation of the cross, of the passion, he prayed for remaining where? In the power of God, in the love of God, of the Father, and in the will of the Father. That is the same thing, in his love and in his power. But I mean, in Mary, it's always that. And we can use whatever is happening in my life because we aren't going to big things are for big things. But in the things that I have in my life, I can all are a gift of God for knowing myself. All are a gift of God for growing in the union with God. But growing in union with God is opening to the love of God. It's opening to the Holy Spirit, to the mercy of God working in my heart. And the Holy Spirit has given for the forgiveness of sins. I mean, and he's there. So the love of God doesn't work out of this coming to him through my weakness. Why? Because it's a pure gift. It's no reason. It's not because you are good. It's not because you are doing the things right. It's not because you are checking boxes. It's not because you are doing your prayers. No, it's because God is God. That is the thing that God surrendered everyone in sin for having mercy of everyone. So nobody can boast of anything. And spiritual life is stopping boasting and knowing who is him and coming to his love and remaining in his love. Yeah? Because he's the vine and we are the branches. And without him, we can do nothing. Exactly that. Yes, selfish things, yes, because in the moment I am not living from his love, that is the vine, the branch living from the branch, the sap is not coming, so there is no love. And in that moment, it's all against looking for love outside. And the commandment of Jesus that is loving the others is coming from his love. It's a person who is living from his love. It's true that that is the fruit that he wants and has to be there. But the fruits are coming, love each other as I love you. Without me, you can do nothing. Remain in my love. As the Father loves me, so I love you. You know, it's going away always to the same point. What? That this is a matter of opening to the love of God. And in our situation, after original sin, as St. Paul declared in several places, the action of God is mercy. So we are going to celebrate next Sunday, Sor Faustina, but it's not a thinking of the mercy of God. No, it's that we need mercy. Every human being is in a deep need of mercy, of a love that is not counting who you are, a love that more weak you are, more is the action of God. That is the mercy of God. That is that Mary knows. I mean, he proclaimed the mercy of God twice in the Magnificat. I mean, and the almighty power of God, that they are connected, because the mercy is not a feeling, it's not an emotion, or a look, God is looking at me and saying, oh, how poor guy. No. The mercy is the power God has if I bring my weakness to him for changing it and making it a way of holiness. That is mercy. It's the power of God working through love in our hearts and making the things different and making the new creature I'm making the person who is open to the action of God and to the love of God, but that depends on me. That is the point of here. The fiat of Mary is connected with her humility and with her trust in God. Her humility is expressed in the words, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." So the one who does the will of God is her humility. She is not trying to do any other thing. "And be done in me according to thy word." That is trust. And the answer of Mary is an answer that is full of humility and full of trust. And now God can do amazing work in her. Why? Because she's always there where total humility, knowing who is God, and total trust, knowing who is God. The humility is knowing me, who am I without God, and knowing that I can do nothing. But and also the things that are separating me from him, I accept them. I become more humble because I know myself better, because I know myself in my weakness, but knowing that he loves me. And now this is salvation. Salvation is the pouring of the love of God in the sinners and in those who are sick and those who are in need of salvation. I mean, because he come to save us. How? Through his love, through the action of the Holy Spirit in our souls. But now depend on me, on how I am looking for that, because I insist, and this is a point that is important. I mean, the desire of being loved is ruling your behavior. And your thinking and your fears and your emotions, all is ruled by your desire of being loved. You are in love, you have everything. You don't have no fear, you have no turmoil, no anguish. I mean, it's what Sir Elizabeth of the Trinity is asking to God to keep her there. And St. Paul was there. I mean, St. Paul was, you know, all the things he passed. Rejoice always. I repeat, the Lord is near. Rejoice always. In every moment, lift up your hearts to God through prayers, hymns, and psalms inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the peace of God that surpasses the peace of Christ that surpasses the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. I mean, but he's talking in a situation that he's in a jail. So he's not talking in. As St. Paul, I mean, they were living from God. But what is stopping me living from God is my desire of being loved. It's clear at this point. Some question about this point. I think it's very important to get it. It's no problem because that is not a problem for God. He knows it. And now I have to understand how deep it is. And why? Because it's my very being in relationship with God. And original sin is that desire was taken from God and put in the world, in people. And you will desire the man with ardor and he will domain you. So it's the consequence immediately of the original sin is because she took God from her heart. Now the consequence, because it's not a chastisement, it's a consequence. I mean, the Bible is talking about a chastisement, not such a chastisement of God. Is that in the moment you are not living from the love of God, now you need to look for love in other places. And now he's looking for love in man instead of bringing man to love. That is the contrary of what is happening. The reason the sexual thing is happening, why? Because the women are not aware of their dignity. They don't have any real relationship with God. And now they are totally empty. So they are craving, longing, yearning for finding a man that kisses them and say something nice and loving to them for using and having sex with them, because that is what happened at the end. With no love, because if you are not bringing another person to a greater life, that person can't love you. Not that he doesn't love you, it's that he can't. Why? Because we love somebody that make me greater and bring me to a greater life, and somebody that I don't possess. Because when I possess a person totally, that person is surrendered to me. It's like kind of slavery. No, it's a person who has a greater dimension that I don't have, because she has the interior dimension that is the mystery of both, being children of God and living from the love of God. But in the moment that interior relationship with God is not happening, I mean, things are a mess. And but I hear the point is understanding that the things can be changed so that we can open everything to the love of God, to the salvation, to the mercy of God, whatever is happening in my heart. Yeah. And Mary knows that perfectly. I mean, that is the mercy of Mary is the mercy of God. I mean, because blessed are the merciful, because they will achieve mercy. And she knows that she's the one who has been more favored by God, because the mercy God has for her, taking from her original sin, for being his mother and being our mother. And she's totally aware that my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. She doesn't think that she's not saved by God. She knows that she has been free from that, for a mission that God is giving to her. But at the same time, is for we understanding that she knows perfectly the mercy of God with us, and she is there because the mercy of God is not merit of her in any way. It's pure grace. That is what Mary is, full of grace. And that is the reason God does in her so amazing things. Why? Because she was totally open to the action of God, not putting nothing on her part. Her disposition for doing the will of God always, and her disposition for letting God to be God in her heart. That is what is the Edith Stein here is talking about, the femininity. And I invite you, encourage you to read this text deeply. You have a book that is called Woman of Edith Stein that has several articles. I mean, for this, it's all about the same idea, how the education of women has to be founded in religious dimension. Right. But here in this text is so clear, so deep, so boom. So it's a huge light of what is happening in our society. Because now the problem is because the woman is not bringing the man to God. The second dimension, what is? God is not my goal. So virginity is not working. And what is truly attractive for a man is virginity. It's the heart that is oriented toward God. That is Mary again. So in the mystery of Mary, there are two mysteries. One is the Immaculate Conception, and the other is the virginity of Mary. And that is the virginal heart means that God is first. The act of faith is a virginal act. St. Augustine talked about that, because he's putting God first. He's believing that only God can fulfill my heart. It's not only that God is the source of life, that God is the fulfillment of all desires. That is virginity. And the first commandment is a virginal commandment. It's not a physical fact. It's who is first. But in the moment God is not first as origin, God is not first as goal. So the first charity is not working. And now nothing works in a spiritual life, because the goal of a spiritual life is receiving the love of God, the Holy Spirit, for that grace. So my brothers are asking me if it's a coronavirus. I'm going to say call. Because I don't know. Sorry. I am on service. I will leave in a moment if they haven't gone, because they're taking long. But I mean, here the point is understanding this mystery of Mary teaching us how she's full of grace, because she never put the desire of being loved out of God. So her desire of being loved was always in God. That is the reason she's so fulfilled by the action of God always. And you can do the same as I can do the same. In you and me, it's a process. It is the process of transformation and purification of the soul. It's the process of growing in a spiritual life. It's the process of humility. Because it's knowing that only His love heals me. And I need to bring the things that are in my heart contrary to love, because it's about loving me, the others, and looking for the love of the others, and put me in the center of everything, and bringing them to God. It's so simple as that. I don't think it's a very difficult thing. It's understanding that this desire is ruling human behavior with the other desire, because if this desire, I don't put it in God, I cannot put the other desire in God. Because they are, God is origin and goal. In the moment the desire of being loved is not in God, neither the desire of happiness or charity is not working, it's not in God. So the first commandment is not working. And the reason we have so many problems in the spiritual life, because it's all about these two desires, how we are opening them to God, because He's the only one who can fulfill them. That means spiritual. Spiritual means that we have desires that cannot be fulfilled by material things. It can be only fulfilled by God. That is the meaning of a spiritual. But it's not that a spiritual is a kind of subtle thing. No, it's that we are created for a communion of love in which the source of love obviously is God, and the fulfillment of all desires and the fullness of beauty and joy and happiness is the very God who has created us. And that is what is Christian life about. It's bringing people to that relationship with God in which He can bring us to His love and to the fullness that He wants to give us. Why? But now depend on how we are opening our hearts and letting him, as this, the text is perfect. I mean, making room to him, yeah? And letting and taking my ego from the center of everything. And I insist, here is the point. If you want, you can know always where, how is your ego working and separating you from God. If you are looking for the union with God, here the problem is always our desires. And then God fulfilled the desires of those who are longing for him. And more I long, more he is going to fulfill it. And the mystery of God is that he fulfills, giving more desire. It's the only reality that you can know that is God because of that. Because you are fulfilled, but at the same time, you long more. And it cannot be in any way fulfilled, because only fulfilled in the vision of God in heaven. That is whatever he gives you, is because he touched more and more and more and deeper and deeper, and he's showing you his mystery. And somebody loves me, my father will love him, and I will love him, and we will manifest to him. It's God talking. So that manifestation is revelation of God in your soul. But depend on me, because depend on how I love him. So because, and how I am, because if I am not the conquered, the desire of being loved, I don't love him, I love me. The problem of the desire of being loved is that it's a desire that is very subtle, because it's confusing. So it's a desire that you even don't perceive it, that you are looking for it. I mean, I think there are very few books written. Well, ultimately, I saw some of them about talking the ego and all these things, but they don't talk about the desire of being loved. They talk about the ego as, what is the ego? The ego is a desire, I mean. But can be only fulfilling. The Buddhist thing doesn't work. The Buddhist thing is stop thinking, because the desire of being loved is generating your thinking. And now it's all about the past and the future. And now it's egocentric behavior is showing me my thinking and my fears and my anxieties and my sadness are all teaching me my selfishness. And the Buddhist thing, what though, is stop that thinking. I mean, try to make meditation for keeping in the present. And stopping thinking, having some peace. It's not bad, but it's psychological peace, nothing spiritual. Why? Because it's psychological. Maybe God works in those people also if they are opening to God and trying to do what is good and trying to grow in love to others. But in others, no. I mean, because there are guys of these that are horrible, all sexual things. As happened with these things, I mean, because the strongest effect of the desire of being loved is sexuality. I mean, St. Paul, when he talked about be pure, don't continue having impure thoughts, impure desires, and that impurity of heart, as the pagans who doesn't know God, because you have received the Holy Spirit. For what? Because you have received the love of God. Are we living from that love, or we continue looking for love outside? I see this is like the key process of the mystery of this woman, that is from the beginning totally open to the mystery of God and the love of God. That is the reason God gave us as a mother, and full of grace, because she's so people are so mean. So, and the other thing is maybe we take it the next day, is the virginity of Mary. That is how her heart is totally oriented toward God. It's the hidden life. That is the meditation we will do the next day. But it's about, and here is another point that we haven't talked, is the heart of the woman has to choose always, because this problem, being a mediatrix or being a seducer, is a core problem of femininity. I was giving a talk a long time ago to the missionaries of charity, and one sister came to me and said to me that expression. I haven't heard it before, but it was like a light also. I mean, every woman has to choose always to be a seducer or to be a mediatrix. You know the difference. No, a seducer is that you're pretending to bring something to yourself, yeah? And these days are being loved. And to be a mediatrix means that you are trying to bring others to the one who is the giver. And every human in all her action, because it's that is who are controlling their hearts, is behaving as a seducer or a mediatrix. And that is, I mean, this is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. And Mary is mediatrix, why? Of all graces, because she is nothing for her. Mary doesn't want to bring anyone to her. even when she was the problem, the is so deep in her, is more than any other creature. It's true. I mean, but it's the reason that he, I don't know, my man, how that is going to happen. Why? Because in the sexual thing, the you have to focus totally in the other person, and that is what she doesn't want. Right? Because the love of God she has is true that in her is in a fullness, but it's teaching also something about ourselves and the fullness of our humanity. And because I see marriages that years pass and the people are not healing purity and chastity, so they continue having very lustful desires. And when they cannot do it with their wives, they desire other women. And that is because they are not learning purity and chastity. So they are not opening to God, because the woman is not bringing them to God more and more. Because that is the being a mediatrix. It's not me, it's other who can fulfill your heart. It's a big problem in human relationships and in the marriage. I mean, it's a big problem. I see it in a prison. A lot of men have huge problems. Why? Because they're not open to God, and the only one who fulfills the desire of being loved is God. When that desire is not being fulfilled, the man becomes sex. And the woman becomes affective relationships and trying to create people that I am attached for escaping from my loneliness. Men can be, and men become sex. And now, because they cannot have the same kind of relationship that they had before with their women, and they have no love because they are not maturing, the woman don't feel love from them, she doesn't want to have a relationship because she's always with headache, and now it's all a mess because these are becoming more problematic because the man cannot resolve his problem because nobody has taught him to open the door. Because that is the mission of the woman. First, being mediatrix, and second is now coming to love. But first is bringing the man to God. That is the call purity and chastity. Is that you are a sign of greater gift than you. And the woman is the gift that God gave to the man. But it's a gift that is conditioned by the giver. So in the moment you lose the meaning of the giver, you are not a gift. You are pretending to occupy the place of the giver. Because it's a big gift. It's salvation. The first gospel was the woman. But she destroyed quickly, and God created another woman for bringing a new gospel, that is through Mary. So we are here to help us to understand these things and to live then. I mean, make choices in our life because it's important. He's there. He loves us. But the thing is how I am opening my desires that are contrary to love to him. Because my desire of being loved is my selfishness. Or I learn to open it to God and stop it, or continue ruling my behavior all along my life. And the point is that we don't grow. Even virtues are appearance, are showing off. Because we are living from the love of God, that this Christian life is all a show. For the others look to me and think that I am a virtuous person, that I am and controlling myself, is crazy. And sexual problem continue working because what you cannot resolve is the heart and the death of your people. So, courage. God bless you. Happy Easter. The Lord is risen with all his power for working in your hearts. So open them to his love. Okay, we finish with a prayer to her, asking her, Regina Celi Letare, Alleluia. Quia quem meruisti portare, Alleluia. Resurrexit sicut dixit, Alleluia. Ora pro nobis Deum, Alleluia. In the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Lord be with you. Have a blessing week. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you. Bye.
Good to see you, everyone. Keep safe. Healthy.
All right. My Father.
Bye.